Hello and welcome to today's broadcast. Your speaker, Richard Adarosa, is the senior pastor of Church of the Harvest, located in Pahokee, Florida. In the ministry for more than 30 years, Pastor Rich has a heart for evangelism and equipping saints to do the work of the ministry. And now here is Pastor Rich teaching on Equipped for Your Assignment, Part 2. Hello, everyone. How are you today? Well, I sure hope that you're doing as good as I am because I'm doing great. It's always an opportunity that's so welcome to be able to share the Word of God with you today on the radio. Blessings to all of you in the name of Jesus. Well, last week, I want to do just a quick review. We studied the first part of this teaching series called Equip for Your Assignment. And today, we're going to continue with that in Equip for Your Assignment Part 2. But before we begin into the new material, I'd like to just do a quick review. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 in the New King James Version, the scripture says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, obviously, talking about the man of God, this also refers and speaks to the woman of God. So, whether you're a man of God or a woman of God, Paul, in talking to Timothy, is the Holy Spirit talking to you and I, that God desires for us to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And how does that thoroughly equipped come from? Well, it comes through the study of God's Word. It comes from a knowledge of His plan and purpose for your life. We shared last week in the book of Acts, chapter 10, and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Well, saints, isn't it wonderful to know that God is with you? God is on the inside of you, and if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is upon you. And so we could say how God anointed and substitutes your name there with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with you. So we talked last week that Jesus did more than just heal the sick and cast out demons and teaching, but he also went about doing good. Now, that word good is the word that we would translate to be doing good or to bestow benefits. And it's very similar to what we would use in describing today a philanthropist. The philanthropist being a person who uses their finances in order to be able to help enrich the lives of people in the world. And we know a lot of people who are very wealthy, and I'm sure you've heard of the Gates Foundation and where so much work is being done and helping needy people. But you, as a philanthropist, have something that perhaps not every philanthropist that we know of has, and that is that you are born again. You're born again and you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so you have the supernatural equipment that enables you to do good and also heal the sick, cast out devils, all the things that Jesus said in Mark 16 that you would do. And so you have to realize that this person that you are in Christ is a person who has been created unto good works. You may be sitting there today and thinking to yourself, well, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like I really can do it because after all, I have so many things going on in my life. Listen, friends, a lot of people get so consumed with themselves. They're so consumed with their problems that they lose or refuse to take hold of the promises of God. You remember in the book of Luke, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things would be added unto you." And of course, he was talking about how he takes care of the birds and how the lilies of the field are clothed. Listen, you're created in the image and likeness of God. You're a child of God. And as a child of God, you have God's commitment and his promise. is his covenant with you through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his precious blood, to provide for your needs, to provide the grace that you need to go about and do good, and heal all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with you. I think it is good at this point to understand that there are times when we pray for people, and for whatever reason, they don't receive their healing. Now, there's a couple of reasons for that. One of them is because they're not interested in it, and they feel maybe forced into making a mental assent and agreeing with you. Sometimes it's because we're not really operating or in faith and acting. And we're going to start a study on God's healing covenant and God's healing principles here shortly, maybe next week, perhaps the week after, where we're going to share with you how to go about and get involved in laying hands on the sick and seeing them recovered. There's some training that comes through the Word of God and through practical teaching that will help you to learn how to pray for the sick. Now understand that sometimes it doesn't always happen, and people get very frustrated and say, well, I'm not praying for anybody else. But listen, your requirement is to pray and believe God in faith. God is the one who is responsible to see it working in another person's life. You see, when it comes to prayer for people, whatever it might be, whether it's provision or healing, understand that what you're praying is laying hold of what's already been done. Healing is a past tense. The first way that Jesus revealed himself as a healer in the book of Exodus was Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And so healing is very important to God because healing is one of those things that can really debilitate people. You remember, of course, in the third epistle of John, where he says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Well, why is the prosperity so important? Well, in order to prosper physically and in order to prosper financially, you must first prosper soulishly. How does the soul prosper? The soul, which is the mind, the will, the emotions, the intellect, processes the Word of God and begins to become changed. We begin to think like God. We begin to become more like Him because what you spend your time thinking on and meditating on are the things that will happen and come to pass in your life, especially when you start speaking them out in faith. So let's get back to the main message here. I like what Brother Hagin say. He'd say sometimes that sometimes a rabbit trail can be more blessing to people than the main course. But want to get back here into our particular lesson from today, and that is that you and I are equipped for our assignment. You remember last week that we read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. But I want to read that to you today from the Amplified Bible. Now, if you go into Bible Gateway, what you'll find is that there is the Amplified Bible and there's the Classic Edition. It's called the AMPC. Well, that's the one I've been used to. I'm 63 years old now. I got saved when I was in my late 20s, and I've been following God ever since. And this is the Amplified Bible version that I'm familiar with, and this is the one that expands so well the concepts that Paul is relating to the church at Corinth. He says this, or rather the Holy Spirit says this, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, he is a new creature or a new creation. It says a new creature or a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition is passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. And so this is very clearly talking to us about being born again, that you don't have a revised nature. You don't have a rebuilt nature. You do not have a refurbished nature, but you have a new nature altogether, a new creature altogether. I like what Jesse Duplantis would say. He said, you're a new creature with some new features. He says here at the end of verse 17, behold, the fresh and new has come. Now, in verse 18, it says this, but all things are from God, What things is he talking about? All the things that you've now become. All the things that happened when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. All these new things are all from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. So what he's telling us is that those of us who have been born again, those of us who have received the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, have been received into favor. We've been brought into right standing with God, so that by word and deed, we are able to bring others also into harmony with him. Isn't that wonderful that you can have a part to play? We were doing some ministry last night, my wife and I, we were counseling a couple, and this particular couple had been together for 15 years or more, and this particular man was not a Christian. He knew of God, but he had never been born again, and he was very frustrated, and his wife was very frustrated with him. And so my wife began to talk to him about her relationship with God and how she got saved, and it got to that point where the Holy Spirit prompted us to say, hey, can we pray with you for your salvation? And through a simple prayer, the man believed in his heart, confessed with his mouth. Well, let me tell you, his whole countenance changed. His whole countenance changed. And we thanked God that the angels of God in heaven are rejoicing over his life. Do you know that his new nature gives him the opportunity, as he allows God to change him, to work from the inside out and to prepare him and make him into somebody that God can magnify and manifest his character through? Well, let's get back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. I love this. It was God personally present in Christ. Jesus wasn't out on his own doing this. The Holy Spirit didn't decide he needed something to do the day that Jesus came out under the water. This wasn't a, hey, let's try it and see how it works thing. God was working. The Father was personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself. Now listen, folks, this is the part that just blows my mind. Not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us, who? These new creatures in Christ, committing to us the message of reconciliation or the restoration to favor. The gospel message is not this: stop your smoking and God will get you, and God will save you. Stop your drinking and God will save you. Stop your drunking and God will save you. Stop your fornication and God will save you. No, the Bible says receive Jesus and Jesus will work with you and he will help you to overcome these things as you begin to learn more about him. You know, the Bible says that it's the kindness, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Isn't it wonderful to know that God loves you so much that before you ever deserved it, he died on the cross for your sins, past, present, and future? That, as it says here, he's not holding or counting up men's trespasses, passes, but canceling them. In the Old Testament, when the priest would put the blood on the mercy seat, it would cover the sins of the people because it was the blood of an animal. But it took the death of the animal in order to place his blood on the altar. When you think about Jesus, the precious Son of God, with no sin, perfect blood person, he was all God, yet he was all man, sacrificed himself. He became sin for us, the Bible tells us. We're going to read this here shortly. He became sin for us, and as a result of that, he abolished and canceled our sins. Our sins are no longer covered. The sins that were covered in the Old Testament, if you take blood and you expose it to air, guess what happens? It clots and it dries up. I'm here to tell you tonight that the blood of Jesus, the very life of God, is on the mercy seat in heaven, and the blood is not clotted. The blood is alive. The Bible says that the life is in the blood. And I want you to know, people, that your life is in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So let's now go and let's jump to verse 20. So then, what does so then mean? Well, because of all what I've just said, we are Christ's ambassadors, making his appeal as it were through us. We as Christ's personal representatives beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. In other words, God wants to reconcile. He's all about reconciling. He wants you to be reconciled to himself by receiving the work of Jesus. He wants you to be reconciled to your families. Fathers, God wants you to be reconciled to that son. Mothers, God wants you to be reconciled to your mother-in-law. God wants us to be reconciled with him and with others. And I want to share with you this. I don't know how much you've studied or thought about an ambassador. But an ambassador does what? An ambassador represents a foreign land. Now, you're not representing Russia. You're not necessarily representing Egypt. But as an ambassador for God, you're representing the kingdom of God. Now, have you ever seen an ambassador on television or perhaps in person come out wearing all tattered clothes and that he got or she got because they couldn't afford to buy any and they didn't have two nickels to rub together? No. The ambassador is dressed for the occasion. Now, I'm not saying that you have to wear beautiful, wonderful clothes all day, all the time. You certainly wouldn't want to wear a three-piece suit to bed. But God doesn't want you lacking anything. He wants you to be blessed so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. Come on, the body of Christ is not called to poverty. The body of Christ is not called to sacrifice. Even God said, mercy and sacrifice I don't desire. God is looking for us to portray Jesus to the world. Jesus, we talked about before, he was not some mamby-pamby with nothing who just went about in the desert all the time eating cactus fruit. No, that wasn't Jesus. He had more than enough because the Word is more than enough. He was the Word become flesh, right? He existed in the beginning with God. When God spoke, the Word spoke. Jesus went into action and declared his Word. And the Holy Spirit went forth into the earth and into the heavens to bring these things to pass. And so understand that as an ambassador for Christ, as a new creature, your old life is gone. It's dead and buried with Christ. When it tries to rear up its ugly head, you need to understand that it has to go back to the grave. Don't resurrect the old man. Allow the resurrection of power of Jesus by his Holy Spirit to resurrect your body and to be used to flow that anointing to resurrect someone else. It doesn't matter how dead your situation looks, because as long as you have the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, you have all the resurrection power available to you to be more than victorious in this world and in the world to come. Verse 21, for our sake, for me, for you, he made Christ to be sin who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable, and in the right relationship with him by his goodness. The Father is a good God. We've said this before. Oral Roberts popularized the phrase that God is a good God. There's a lot of people that don't believe God's a good God. What about you? Do you believe it? Well, it's really hard for me to believe that, Pastor Rich, because after all, there's so many bad things going on in the world. Yeah, but see, the reason you think that way is because you don't know what the scriptures say. You don't realize that it's because of sin and the consequences of that and the rebellion that's taken part that's caused these things to happen. The good news is you can live above the corruption that's in the world. The good news is he's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. You're no longer a member of where you are. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're of the kingdom of God. You are representing another kingdom on the earth to the world, is that's what you're representing. And then, we haven't even gotten into the new material yet. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 tells us then that the power to be a witness for Jesus was going to come after they received the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit fell on those people in the upper room. They were filled with the Spirit and began to speak with tongues. There's no small wars fought over the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the speaking in other tongues. But read your Bible with an open mind, and you'll find that the evidence of being baptized on the Holy Spirit was by speaking in tongues, and many times often it happened that people prophesied. Now I want you to see something before I get into the end here of our ministry today. And that is, in the Old Testament, it was only the prophet, the priest, or the king that were anointed by the Spirit of God. Nobody in the Old Testament was born again. Nobody in the four Gospels, as recounted, were born again. Now, Jesus was already alive unto God, but when Jesus died on the cross and went to hell and paid and took the devil and made him captive and released the chains on you, Jesus really was the first one to be raised from the dead. And so Jesus was really the first begotten from the dead. Jesus was really the first person to become born again. It was the seed that was planted into the earth that would cause a great harvest to take place. And you, as a Christian, are part of that wonderful harvest from the seed that God planted in the earth, namely Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, it says this, that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit after he had been tempted in the wilderness. So in verse 16 of Luke chapter 4, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Now I'm reading from New King James, verse 17, and he was handed the book. Well, they didn't have the books back then, they had scrolls. So he was handed the book or scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book of the scroll, he found the place where it's written. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then it says in verse 20 that he closed the book and he gave it back to the minister or the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Listen, I want to declare to you today, if you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he's anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. He's sent you to heal the brokenhearted. He's sent you to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what you're called to do. You're called to take this ministry into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, Jesus was recognized as the carpenter's son. And they said, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the guy who has been a carpenter and been in that business and now he's 30 years old? And he said to them, Jesus said to them in verse 23, and will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Where whatever we heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. But then he said, surely I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And we're not going to have time to go through all the fullness of these verses, but I got some questions for you. Have you ever had anybody say to you, well, who do you think you are? When you start telling people you're anointed, when you start declaring the works of God that he's doing in you and he's going to do through you and is doing through you, you're going to get some persecution, and it's going to come from people that think they know you. See, you become a new creature in Christ, but nobody can see on the inside of you. The only thing that they can see is what comes from the outside of you. They may see some difference in your life. I remember every weekend I'd drink a case of Peel's beer. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, God took that desire away. And the people I drank with would say, come on, let's have some brews. And I'm saying, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm a Christian. I don't have any desire for it. And so they probably said, is Richard Adenrosa, is this the mechanical engineer that we know? Is this the father of the girls? Is this the guy that we know that used to drink with us and that? Listen, when you become a new creature in Christ, people are going to question what's going on. Sometimes it's easier to minister outside your sphere of influence and who you know. That's why mission trips a lot of times are very good as we're beginning to develop these things in our lives and beginning to do that until we develop the confidence and the boldness to be able to speak to and demonstrate to our loved ones. I've always believed that the best way to win your loved ones to the Lord is to live your life like Jesus would, be an example to them, and let them follow you in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so we see here, as we're finishing up, that there were five different things Jesus said that we would do. We would preach the gospel to the poor. Understand that back in these days, the Pharisees and Sadducees despised the poor. How dare Jesus say that he was sent to the poor? He was sent to heal the brokenhearted, to console those who are deeply afflicted or whose hearts are broken by external calamities, to preach deliverance to the captives, to give liberty to the slave and restore him or her to freedom. It was the highest benefit that could be imparted back in those days. People would buy slaves or free slaves, and it was very costly. To recover sight to the blind, those that are blinded, whom Satan hath blinded their eyes, lest they see the glorious gospel. And then finally, to set at liberty them that are bruised. The word bruised here literally is very similar to brokenhearted or contrite. It's referring to people who are pressed down by great difficulties, or his heart, or their hearts are oppressed or bruised, perhaps by their consciousness of sin. And so, folks, as we begin to wind down here, understand that you are equipped. It's up to you now to take that equipment and let God work through it for you to have an impact in your world. You say, well, I'd sure like to do that. How do I get that kind of boldness? You pray for boldness. You spend time in the Word of God, and you develop an image of that on the inside of you, in your spirit. You begin to meditate and see yourself doing these things. You know, that's a great way for us to begin developing our ministry, is by first meditating on them and seeing yourself doing the things that Jesus did. Glory to God. This is Rich Idarosa again. And if you really enjoyed this message today, if it touched your heart, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us by emailing us at churchoftheharvestpahokee.com. That's churchoftheharvestpahokee, PAHOKEE.com. Or write to us at Church of the Harvest, P.O. Box 183, Pahokee, Florida, 33476. That's Church of the Harvest, P.O. Box 183, Pahokee, Florida, 33476. Boy, really love sharing the word with you today. And I'm believing that those who've heard the message are excited and will continue to work in the kingdom of God. God bless you.